Did you notice that odd phrase in there? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, that's a particular understanding, characteristic of the Gospel of John. Otherwise, it's sins, sins, and more sins. But in John, there's one sin. And really, it has two components. Believing that Jesus is the one, the Son of God, and abiding in Him who abides in the Father through the Spirit. So we heard about the Spirit coming down and remaining on Him. It's the same Greek word, meno, meaning to abide or remain or to stay with. Abiding in Jesus, in the Father, is what it means to believe. And that's, not doing that is a sin of the world. And that's what, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take that away. Now, I want to say something about that. This may be more of a think about this kind of homily. Because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world seems to me, and it's a very, you know, idiosyncratic way of looking at things, so take it or leave it, you know, see what fits. First of all, there are three Greek nouns that are translated lamb. This one, amnos, is what we hear today, the Lamb of God. We'll hear it again. No, we won't. It's when John sees the disciples, Andrew, and says, behold the Lamb of God. Amnos has the characteristic, it's used in the Old Testament mainly about sacrifices that are part of sin, guilt, and thanksgiving offerings. So they're always sacrificing all kinds of critters in the Old Testament, okay? And lambs are part of that. The first instance of this word, or at least one of the key sacrifices, chapter 14 of Leviticus, is the sacrifice in thanksgiving for the healing of a leper. Let me suggest that the main thing that stands in the way of abiding in Christ is that we deal with ourselves, our inner selves, as lepers. We avoid them and sequester them. So the first usage of this, I think, is key. Or this, at least this usage here is key. But there are many other usages, both in Leviticus and Numbers. And in Numbers, there's the offering for the offerings at the dedication of the altar. This is the tabernacle that traveled around. It's not the temple. There's daily offerings, Sabbath offerings, monthly offerings, offerings at Passover, offerings at the Festival of Weeks that we call Pentecost, offerings at the Festival of Trumpets, which I've never heard of, offerings on the Day of Atonement, which is key, and at the Festival of Booths in the fall at the harvest time. So there's all this stuff about lambs being offered. That makes sense, doesn't it? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the usual picture we're given, at least that we've inherited in this country, there are a number of different theories of atonement. One of them comes from Anselm, I believe, and some of my Jesuit brothers that I saw here could go, nope, not the case. But as I recall, it's Anselm's notion of the substitutional offering that was picked up by Luther and Calvin, that Jesus died for us to help us avoid God's wrath for our sins, and that being covered by the blood of the Lamb is what saves us. That's the usual picture. My problem with that I've had for a while, a long while, is that underneath the blood of the Lamb, we're still a pile of it. It's the picture of shame. It's the very picture that promotes shame, I think. Here's what I want to talk about. Here's a theory that it's probably other people too, but at least I'm coming aware of it or something. I just want to offer it for your possible edification. And as a lens through which to look at this year in which we mainly read Matthew's gospel. What does it mean to be the Lamb of God and to take away the sins of the world? It's about atonement. But to look at that word based on the Latin adunamentum, meaning unity, meaning integrity, meaning communion, the Lamb of God brings about the integrity of the self and the communion of the world. And the sin that he takes away is our incapacity or unwillingness to abide, because we feel like lepers and we see other people as lepers and we blame them and shun them. So here's my image. It's like the good old inkblot test, the Rorschach, you know. I forgot to run it off, dang it. I was going to hold up an inkblot and say, what is that? The therapist's personnel hold up an inkblot and says, tell me what this is. And everybody says, well, it's first of all about sex, and then it's about other things, you know. But the deal is, it interprets, it elicits from us our individual, very personal responses to what that is. And if we all took it, there may not be a lot of there not be absolute commonality there. And I want to propose that Jesus is the inkblot. Jesus is the divine Rorschach who comes into the world and basically says, deal with it. And throughout the Gospels, and we'll see this in Matthew, you can see it in John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What does he elicit? The scribes and Pharisees criticize, get more obstreperous, more hostile, and murderous. That's what he elicits from them. Why? So that seeing what is in them, perhaps, they might bring it to his light and turn their lives around. He elicits stuff from the disciples and the 12, which is what? Resistance and unwillingness to understand his mission, incapacity to get what messiahship is about. That's us. And he elicits that so that we might discover that in ourselves, bring it to the light for integrity and wholeness and communion. The people whom he heals already see their flaws. I'm blind, I'm deaf, I can't speak, I'm this way, I'm that way, I'm paralyzed. And many of them ask. And he responds with healing. Seems to me that's how the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, by eliciting the responses from a wounded leper inside. For integrity and wholeness and communion throughout the world. And as we celebrate Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, remembering him and his mentor Gandhi, that's what they did. The nonviolence that they worked elicited the pain and hatred of their oppressors with the hope that they could see their hate and violence and repent. They developed a Rorschach, an ink blot. I think Jesus does that for us. So when we come up to the time of Behold the Lamb of God, what might you think of or remember? Happy New Year.